We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Maddie, what's your opinion of inchworms?
Very intriguing. I like to watch them move.
Yeah. Serve a purpose on the planet?
Bait for fish.
Inchworms? Do they really?
I don't know. Maybe. Any worm.
It's one of the reasons
more like
I never...
night crawlers, I guess.
Yeah, I think it is night crawlers.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I never like to fish.
Touching worms?
Touching worms. Watching them squirm on a hook. And I stepped on a sunfish in the Adirondacks and its eye popped out. That was a turnoff.
Of course you did.
Maddie, have you tried the new coffee back there?
Which one?
Extra dark. Extra bold, and you can brew your own with these little Koenig. Is that what they're called?
Keurig,
yeah.
Yeah.
Keurig.
I've frequented the Keurig machine back there. I don't know if I've had that particular roast. Is
Gentile ready?
Yeah, he's ready.
What?
He's good.
All right, let's go. Nemacolin fan hotline. We bring in the one and only Sean Gentile. How are you, sir?
When the cookie's away, the Joe Bird will play.
We were talking about how much we missed Cookie earlier today. Maddie misses his muscles, which was an unbelievable line. I asked him on video, what do you miss most about Ron? I said his beard. Maddie said his muscles. What do you make of this?
I mean, I think Pony or Dunlap or one of those guys was like all over a shirtless pic Ron posted recently. He's ripped, more ripped than you'd think.
He's like an aging Hemingway, a lot of people say. He
that
really is.
That's true. Does that mean you're going to start calling him Papa?
Yes, I might. You go look at a picture of Ron, especially the shirtless one, and then go find Hemingway in his later years, and it's uncanny.
I mean, is he hanging out in the Keys? Like?
Oh, he would. That's the other thing.
Big group of feral cats, yeah. or whatever. Hemingway was doing at the end there?
Yes. Ron would love to live Hemingway's later life, just sitting around in the sun with beer. I don't know if that's what Hemingway drank, if that was his first drink of choice. I don't know.
He's a big bullfighting guy. People don't know that about Ron.
I've been to a bullfight in Spain, in Toledo, with my dad.
What?
Back in the early 80s. This was the time I told you I pooed in a sock at the monastery and threw it out into the courtyard. That story's an old one, though. I don't want to bore Maddie with that.
Guess what? Hmm. Never heard that one, buddy. You pooped in a sock?
Yes. I wasn't feeling well because of the trip to Spain with my dad. He took me there in seventh grade. He was a, what?
Was it because you weren't feeling well, or was it because you just saw a man kill a bull in front of you?
This is very separate from the bullfight. My dad was a professor of European history at Damon, and he took each of his kids on one of his trips to other parts of the world. I chose Spain for no apparent reason. I was in seventh grade with extremely pale skin, braces, greasy hair, purple tough skins, and huge gym socks. And I didn't feel well. He went out to sightsee one day, and I said, I'll stay back at the monastery. We were staying at the monastery because it was cheap, quite frankly.
Yeah, that was my number one question. Like, why were you're at the monastery by yourself to begin with? That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, and okay. I didn't have a great feeling about the monks in the monastery. So when it came time to make the long walk from my little cubbyhole off to the bathroom, I wasn't up for that. So I just used a sock, a long gym sock, Amherst Tigers colors, black and orange. And then I didn't know what to do with the sock. And I panicked and just threw it down into the courtyard.
All right. So I thought it was going to be completely like it was physical illness that was a play here. I thought you were going to say that you ate some bad paella or got sick to your stomach or whatever. Like, no, this is an anxiety-borne reaction in which you were afraid to walk down to the toilet. So that's really interesting. I think we're unlocking some stuff here, Joe.
Well, as Josh Miller said, the first monk who found that gym sock, the filled gym sock, must have looked up to the skies and said, "What have I done?
What have I done? What have I done?"
And then somehow I'm thinking they're not going to trace it to me, but I imagine in this Spanish monastery there weren't a whole lot of people pooing in gym socks, Sean.
Yeah, and the other problem was that your mother probably wrote Jay Starkey on the underside of the gym sock too.
So exactly. Yeah. So they knew. To their credit, they didn't say anything. I remember us sitting down to this giant meal at a table. The monks, my dad, and me, and nobody said it. Of course, nobody said anything anyway.
Could that have been because of the vow of silence? We'll never know.
It could have been. They might have been cloistered monks. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. What were we talking about here? Okay.
Gino.
Sports.
Do you think that Gino is going to – Gino and Letang? I mean, that's the question. We've hit the moment of truth here with these two guys. Which one comes back or two or none?
Chris Letang, if he wants it, and it seems like he wants it, is going to be capable of making so much money this offseason, whether it comes from the Penguins, whether it comes from somebody else. Like, that dude is still a right-hand shot, top pair defenseman who's got a few more years of prime play ahead of him. Those guys don't exist. Like, you're like, and I think that, to me, is the single biggest reason for the Penguins to bring him in at $8.5 million a year or whatever it ends up being, because who do you replace him with? Do you go out and sign John Klingberg, who's a worse version of Chris Letang and will get paid nearly as much? You try to trade for somebody? Do you trade assets for Jeff Petrie from Montreal, who makes a bunch of money and is coming off a terrible season? Like, I don't know. I think Letang is the one that, given my druthers, if I were running a hockey team that was trying to win games next season, I think I would rather have Chris Letang.
What do you think the chances are that Gino is back?
I don't know. It's probably better than 50%. Like, we know that he's got the willingness to take a pay cut, which seems like it's going to have to happen if he wants to. People love talking about the Penguins salary cap space because they have $23 million of it, but that disappears really quickly whenever you start signing restricted free agents and factoring raises for them. And like, if you want to keep Danton Heinen around, like, do you pay him $2.5 million? Like, what do you do with Kasperi Kapanen? And on and on and on. And then before you know it, and also, by the way, they have to sign a backup goaltender. So before you know it, you know, you're talking about $14 million, $15 million, $16 million, and then it gets a lot tougher. So if Malkin's willing, it seems like he's willing to take the three-year deal. We'll see what happens with the pay, but I think it's still above 50%. It's tough to imagine him going somewhere else at this point, honestly.
What do you make of this ACC Pitt story in the meantime?
That's good for Pitt. What a draw.
Wait.
What a draw for Pitt.
They've taken away the divisions, so now all the football teams are in the same division. I was thinking it was bad for Pitt. What am I missing here?
Look at their continuous common opponents. They're playing, what is it, BC and Syracuse and Virginia Tech? Like, they get out of having to play every single year against Clemson or Miami or Louisville, like teams that are, you know, at least have like more of a track record of recent success. That's a great draw. I would rather play against those three teams than any of the other ones in the conference.
Wait, so how is this working here? Maddie, you can chime in whenever you like. Each team gets three teams that they definitely play every year. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And Pitts are bad. So
Pitts are,
congratulations.
Are which teams again?
BC, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech.
All right,
you don't have to play Clemson every year. You don't have to play Miami every year. Like, your schedule is just baked in much, much more simple than, you know, say the Georgia Techs of the world or what have you. I think it's really good for them.
Well, who drew Clemson? That would be my question.
That's a good question. I haven't. I didn't look at the graphic closely enough, but wasn't Pitt.
And now I see a man calling himself the Hokie Pharmacist says, ask many Tech fans and they will tell you they hate Miami more than UVA. The ACC taking that game away is wrong. So they've taken away Virginia Tech Miami. Apparently that not sitting well with a lot of people out there. Not that I really care. I don't even know why I just said it, but I saw it.
Yeah, who cares? Like, I'm sure Pitt fans would rather play Miami than Virginia Tech every year too. Like, that's a more fun matchup, but whatever. And I don't know. I'm pretty close to like three of my best friends went to Virginia Tech randomly. And I think you'd be hard pressed to get them to say that they hate Miami more than UVA. Like, I'm glad we're keeping that. That's a prime rivalry game.
Have you ever been to the cafeteria at Virginia Tech? It's unbelievable. I mean, it's one of the nicest restaurants I've ever been to. You can walk up, Maddie, any one of these counters has a different, like, international flavor to it. Sean, am I right?
I know back, like, in the mid-aughts when I was in college, I went to Maryland. I was there from 2004 to 2008. And like I said, three of my best friends went to VT. So I was in Blacksburg a lot. And I ate a lot at that cafeteria. And I can guarantee you, in the power rankings of dining halls at gigantic ACC state schools back then, because this is when Maryland was in the ACC, Virginia Tech was at the top. They had a buddy who worked at, like, the cheesesteak place, I remember, because they, like, there was, like, you know, the grill where you would go and get hoagies and stuff. And he used to bring home some monsters. It's a really solid place. We could actually just talk for 15 minutes about dining hall rankings at state school, and I'd be down with it.
And we will, because the second greatest dining hall that I've ever been to. Well, Cortland State, when I was hungover, when they had the Sunday morning buffet, Brockway Hall, but I don't think many people are familiar with that. The second greatest one was Notre Dame, which is where they filmed the Harry Potter lunch. And you know, the cafeteria scenes.
Guess what?
Really?
Was filmed at Notre Dame. That's
Guess
right,
what?
Maddie.
Wow.
Guess and it what? Notre Dame Dining Hall, the site of the wedding of my friend and yours, Sam Werner, a couple years ago.
What?
He got married on campus at Notre Dame, and they had the reception in the dining hall. It felt like you were, you know, talk about being in like an abbey or a monastery or some Harry Potter spot. Like, that was it all the way through.
Hopefully.
And the great thing is I remember most of it. I remember probably 85% of my evening there. So it was good.
Hopefully nobody threw a gym sock into the middle of the proceedings.
That might have happened later on. You never know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's the Pitt thing. So Pitt's 2023-26 ACC opponents. What is this thing? Oh, here we go. Home, they have BC, Florida State, Louisville, and North Carolina. Away, they have Duke, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, and Wake Forest. That's 2023. So they don't play Clemson again for a while.
That sounds pretty good. Like, this is a good schedule to come around at the right time for Pitt. And I'm sure they'll find a way to lose by, 28 to Georgia Tech or whatever it is, but
for the time being,
it looks awesome.
Well, what about the piece, though, that you're not in the Coastal, which is very winnable, but now you're in the entire pool with Clemson and Florida State and NIL and what that means for certain schools? I think there is a downside here because it's going to be awfully tough to finish ahead of Clemson, whether you're playing them or not.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, but go find a major conference that Pitt can consistently expect to win. See how long that takes. Like, there's good teams out there. Like, you drop Pitt in the Big 12 and you can say, like, yeah, they're going to finish behind Team X or whatever. That's just the way it goes because that's where they are as a program. Like, they're not going to be the runaway favorite in any division. That's just, or in any conference. That's just the way it goes. So I'll take, if I'm Pitt, I'll take being, from this bigger pool, the possibility that you're two or three in any given year. I think that makes a ton of sense. And again, you can skate playing Clemson. You can skate playing, Miami or whatever. And you're not losing any rivalries. It's not like anybody cares about Pitt versus any particular Coastal team. Like, that's
right.
Just not something that took hold. So you run the chance of, like, maybe building up an actual rivalry with, say BC or Syracuse. You at least give them the shot at that. You're not, there's no loss there. No one's going to regret Pitt not playing, NC State or whatever. Like, it's fine.
Sean Gentile of The Athletic. So if Geno doesn't come back here, and I gave you a choice of Vincent Trocheck or Nazem Kadri, who would you prefer?
Kadri's going to make a lot of money, and he is almost 32 years old. So, I mean, I think it's much more feasible that they sign Trocheck than Kadri. And if you're, because Kadri, I mean, look, we know that Hextall is not, he's trying to avoid signing players to long-term big money deals. It's going to be a problem with everybody, but it makes more sense when you're looking at Brian Rust, which they got done already, or Vincent Trocheck, who are guys that are in their mid-late 20s, than, say, Nazem Kadri, who was unreal last year, and he's going to make a ton of money, and he deserves it. But he's also 32 years old, which is going to put him at 36 on the back end of, say a seven-year deal, and he's going to be past it by that point. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, Kadri's going to go somewhere and fall flat because he's a really good player. He's a really complete player. But if you look at stuff like his on-ice shooting percentage, like those sort of next-level stats with Colorado from this past year, he benefited greatly from playing with super talented linemen. Like, he had the Colorado effect. So if you're paying him for those points, for all those points he scored, and he had 85 or whatever it is, I think the odds of him duplicating a season like that, especially when he's 32 or 33, are pretty slim. So given what he'll cost versus what Trocheck would cost, especially since both of them are going to be looking for 6 or 7 year deals, I'm taking Trocheck.
Last question, Sean. Looking at the wings, I'm just throwing this out there to get your opinion. What would you think of Evander Kane as a Penguin?
No. Bad guy. No thanks. Like, how much more? Like, he really hit for the cycle last year. He had a gambling scandal. He had a domestic abuse scandal, and he, whatever, had issues with his teammates. Like, the Sharks hated him. Hated him. And he was suspended for basically two separate serious things at the same time. Like, he can just re-sign with Edmonton. I wouldn't want any parts of him.
Phil Kessel reunion is a horrible idea, yes?
I want to meet people who sincerely think that it's a good idea. Didn't watch much. I would imagine that they didn't see much of Phil last year.
For our sake, it would be incredible. I would actually pay money to see that.
Can we, like, we don't need to donate money, but if there's some way we can, figure out some way to massage the salary cap to make it even more palatable, I think we should do that. Like, we should want it to happen. I'm not sure that anybody who wants, the Penguins to win meaningful hockey games next year should want the same thing.
How about a David Perron reunion?
Did you watch David Perron when he was here? The dude, he only works in St. Louis. He shouldn't go anywhere else. He stunk in Anaheim. He stunk when he was here. He's like a leading scorer on the Blues. Like, don't go anywhere, man. Just stay put.
Thank you, Sean.
Goodbye, Joe.
Sean Gentile of The Athletic. Never disappoints, does he, Folesy?
I love your interaction at the end. Just thank you, Sean.
Yeah, there's goodbye. No reason to get sentimental or anything or have a drawn-out goodbye. That's always been a problem. I've had friends over the years.
You're a short goodbyer.
Yeah, you can't even get off the phone with them.
I know.
It's like it's some, I don't know if it's an abandonment issue or what's going on. It's time to go. Goodbye.
The in-person long goodbye is even more awkward.
Yes.
Because then both kind of like trailing. You're getting more and more space in between you.
My mom used to have a disease, the prolonged goodbye. I'd be a kid. We're looking to get out of these people's house. And the goodbye lasts longer than the visit did,
yep.
Folesy. Let's get out of here. Goodbye.
You're walking toward the door.
Yes.
You have your hand on the knob,
right.
But you're still carrying on the conversation.
Exactly. And then it settles into another conversation.
Yep.
Then they follow you
to the car.
Right. Thank you for a nice time. Goodbye. It's one word. Goodbye. There's no insult there, right?
No.
And you just heard myself and Sean execute a clean and proper goodbye. Thank you, Sean. Goodbye, Joe. That's it. No one's offended. In fact, it's better this way.
Although we've drawn out the goodbye by talking about the goodbye for the past 2 minutes.
Which is ironic.
It
it's
is.
The very definition of irony. Folesy, what the hell are we doing? We had something planned for the next segment, right?
Yeah, we're going to go back to our boy Raz.
That's
Rassiope.
Right. Rassiope, the quarterback guru, was on his way to a workout with Kenny Pickett. I happened to ask him, do you have an NFL comparable? This guy works with the Mannings. This is one of the few guys that the Mannings allow to work with quarterbacks at their camps. He's worked with Pickett for 5 years. He's working with Slovis. He's worked with one other guy. Very notable. And this was his NFL comparison for Kenny Pickett. We'll tell you about it next on Cookin' Joe. My friend Maddie really got a good guest earlier. Really went digging for guests. And he found Tony Rassiope. He was on with the Fan Morning Show a little while back. Quarterback guru. One of the few guys the Mannings let work with quarterbacks at their camps. Has worked with Kenny Pickett for 5 years. When we talked to Tony, what was it, about an hour ago? Not even. He was on his way to work out with Kenny Pickett here. Saying we're going to tailor our workouts to what Matt Canada wants here. And one of my questions for Tony, do you have the question in here as well, Maddie?
Yes, I do.
So let's play this. I was very curious about this toward the end of the interview. You're the perfect person to ask this question. Who's a good comparable? Who's a good NFL comparable, past or present, for Kenny Pickett?
I think the Joe Burrow one's legit. I had Joe Burrow for 4 days at the Manning camp twice. And when you have these guys at the Manning Passing Academy, you're around them all day long, Joe. Like you're meeting with them in the morning at 7:30 a.m., grabbing a cup of coffee, talking about what we're doing out there on the field. You're coaching high school kids with these guys. You know, you're eating lunch with these guys. And I'm one of the four guys that the Mannings let coach these guys when they're there. I'm actually with Peyton, which is like the greatest thing in the world, right? Mm. So you see all these guys, and that's obviously I keyed in there at USA, and obviously the last 4 days, camp just ended Sunday, so you can hear my voice a little bit probably too. So we watch these guys throw. You put them through a workout, you're putting them through drills, then you watch them coach again, and then you go to dinner with them at night, and then and then you're with them till midnight every single night, kind of just hanging out, just talking ball and talking life and talking family and talking. So you feel like you get it. My point is you get a good grasp of the guy. A, how physically talented are, and B, like kind of what makes him tick. And Joe, I had Joe for both years on my field with me. I'm in charge of a field there with the high school kids. And I had Joe both years for 4 days. So I just think, the way they both throw it, they're both better athletes than people think. They're both accurate. They both process information so well. They're both ultra competitive dudes. They're both quick processors. you know, Joe is a coach's kid. You know, I mean, Kenny's dad didn't coach him in high school, but Kenny's dad coached him growing up, and Kenny's dad was the Hall of Famer at, you know, at Chipping Spur. Like, you know, he's been around that kind of stuff his entire life. So I just, you know, they're ultra confident without being cocky. You know, kind of how you want your quarterback, right? Like, like, you know, kind of the, I would say the magnet in the room. If they walk in a room, everybody kind of gravitates towards them. You know, they're kind of both, they're very similar in that way. So I would be that. That's the biggest one. You know, it's, and now let's go out there and play well and get those three P's that I talked about earlier, right? So it's, you see a lot of talented guys get drafted high, and you know, they start their NFL career maybe too early, or they don't have those three P's around them, and you know, within 4 or 5 years they're done. They're out of the league, or they're a backup somewhere. You know, so it's kind of, you have to be ready, and the team has to be ready at the right time. If that makes sense.
It makes sense. That was absolutely incrinculant, Maddie. I had to make up a word to describe that. What stood out about the comparison that he made with Burrow? And that's, I mean, this is a guy that NFL teams called when they not wanted to know about Pickett. And his statement, I know we're doing a web story on it, that puts pressure on Pickett, but I think a good kind of pressure. And you've had people say, he is comparable to Joe Burrow. Others have said that's ridiculous. Burrow was an obvious number one overall pick. Pickett was a guy who wouldn't have gone in the first round if the Steelers didn't take him. So let me ask you. He had several points of comparison between the two. I know one stood out for me. What stood out for you?
I have a combination of two of them. The first one is just the overall demeanor, like the confidence without having the cockiness. I think you can tell that right away with both Kenny Pickett and Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And you do want that in a quarterback. You want the guy to be confident in himself without being overly confident. And I think both of those guys ride that line kind of perfectly. And also what he said about being a quick processor really stuck out to me, because I think that's an exciting part
that's
of
the one,
Pickett
Folesy.
And Burrow's yes. game, where they're not going to be overwhelmed by the NFL game, that they can process things at a high level. And I think that's what separates Joe Burrow already in his early career. And if Kenny Pickett can do the same things, then we're in for a good one.
I'm with you on that, man. 100%. I asked him early in the interview why teams have so much trouble. Why after all these quarterback camps like the one you work at, are there only 10 people in the entire world to do this at a high level? And I think processing information is the key to it all. And you can't know whether a quarterback in a college environment will be able to process information with athletes, NFL athletes moving that fast until you see him.
Yeah.
You can't know. A guy like Russell Wilson goes where he did in the draft.
Was he third round, I think?
Yes. And then you realize when he gets to the league, he can do that. Yep. He can, in addition to all the physical skills, this dude thinks the game. Joe Burrow, he goes first overall, but you still don't know till you see it. Wow, he thinks the game. Guys like Ryan Leaf and all these guys who have all the physical skills in the world can't process the information fast enough.
And that's something that Tony said earlier whenever you asked him. He's like, you can't crack these guys open and get inside their heads and see exactly what they're capable of. There's no way to simulate that kind of thing until they actually get there.
Right. Now, here's the problem, the ultimate problem when it comes to the Burrow-Pickett comparisons, or the Burrow-mostly everybody else comparisons as far as young quarterbacks coming in. He's the most accurate passer in the NFL. Period. And here's the amazing stat about that. This story was from after the regular season. It might have been going to the final game. Burrow is from The Athletic. The league leader among qualified passers with a 70.4 completion percentage. All right, that's part of the story. Yet, according to NFL's Next Gen Stats, he's also the most aggressive quarterback in the league, meaning he's throwing more balls into tight windows than anybody in the league. And he's still the most accurate, which is an amazing stat when you think about it. And this is NFL Next Gen. Burrow leads the league with nearly 20% of his passes being thrown into small windows. So you combine that with his completion percentage overall, and it's incredible.
So that's really not only being accurate, but that's also trusting your accuracy, as in putting it in places where you know you can put it into, even if it's tight.
Yes.
You're still going for it.
So that leads to Burrow having the widest margin in the NFL in actual completion percentage versus expected completion percentage. In other words, you're putting in those tight windows. There's a low expected completion percentage, and this dude still hits on it, and nobody's close. Nobody was close.
Right.
So does Pickett have that? Does anybody have that?
Yeah.
How accurate is Pickett going to be under NFL fire? That's the ultimate question. And obviously a lot of teams, most teams, probably even the Steelers, don't believe he's Burrow-like there.
Yeah, and so we're not getting confused as to what the conversation is that we're having right now. We are certainly not saying that Kenny Pickett is the direct to Joe Burrow.
He is.
I'm saying
he
that,
was.
That we're not saying that Kenny Pickett is going to be Joe Burrow right
he
when
seemed
he steps
to be
on.
Saying that. You and I are not saying
right.
that. In fact, that's what I'm saying is going to be the difference here, I think. But Tony was saying that.
And it did not take him very long to pull Joe Burrow's name out of his hat.
No, it didn't.
And he also worked with Joe Burrow, he said, for a few days.
4 days, twice at the Manning camp. That's a lot of time to spend around somebody. That's not one night taking somebody out to dinner at the combine. That's 4 days of intensive work and study. And he explained that at night they would hang out. We got to go, Maddie. I'm very interested in this. We're going to pick this up tomorrow. We still have What's Cooking to go today here on Cookin' Joe. What do you think Ron's doing right now, Maddie?
Couple beers deep, sitting on the back patio, enjoying the sunshine.
A couple meaning seven? Free lights?
Yeah, a couple is variable, I guess. Doesn't always mean two, does it?
Does he have his Aliquippa jacket on today?
No, he's got his
Speedo. It's nice out.
His bowling green polo on.
The bowling green polo with a Speedo. Cracking open free light after free light, isn't
mm-hmm. he? Ah, he's shirtless. He's showing it off.
He's definitely shirtless. Yes, you're right
As
about that.
As he should be.
Yeah. He enjoys days like this. I know he does. He sits by the pool. He reads a book. He guzzles beer.
When it's 90, close to 90 degrees, he loves it.
And he shows off his chest hair.
That's right. That's why he works out all the time. He lives for pool season.
I don't feel well, Maddie.
His beach body.
His beach bod, yeah.
Yep.
His Hemingway body.
It's not a dad bod. Does he have a
it
dad bod?
It is not a dad bod. It's not. I mean, all kidding aside.
It's really not.
This guy, how old do you think Ron is? Have we ever gotten to the
I've
bottom
so
of that?
I've had so many people ask me that. I have no idea.
I'm going to say, at the risk of insulting him, early 60s. You?
I was going to say late 50s. I think he's like 57.
No way.
58.
You're wrong.
Really? You think he's in his 60s?
Yeah, I have a pretty good idea
okay.
of that.
All right.
But the way he looks could be late 40s. The guy looks better than people in their 40s.
I know.
How did this happen? He doesn't lift weights. He does 14-ounce curls. That's what he does.
And he walks.
He walks.
Do you ever see him pace whenever he's trying to think of a column to write?
That's a legendary Ron Cook movement right mm-hmm. there. The whole media world knows of that. The pacing.
Somebody asked him about that the other day. I saw him in the hallway. He was doing the pace.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, hey, you all right? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just trying to think. That's typical.
Of what?
Of Ron.
Yeah. Very. That's his move. He paces before he writes.
It's his pregame ritual.
I have to write for tomorrow.
What are you going to write about?
Pitt in the ACC. In case you missed it out there, the ACC no longer has divisions in football. And Pitt's three rivals, the three teams they're going to play every year. After, other than that, it's rotating every year. You play every team, I think, twice over 4 years for sure. One home, one away.
Yeah.
Their three teams are Virginia Tech, BC, and Syracuse, right? Am I right about that, Falsey?
Yes, it is. Boston College, yeah, you said it. Boston College, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech.
What happened to you? All of a sudden, your answers are getting short.
Oh, because Pony came in here while I was... had the mic open, was saying things, so I had to close my mic for a second to make sure nothing went out over the air that was not supposed to.
All right. It's What's Cooking.
He's gone now.
Brought to you by Mr. Reuter. You're supposed to say
thank you, Mr. Reuter.
Call 412-ROOTER2. What's Cooking also brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Now's the time to get a great deal on a newer pre-owned vehicle and great service. You'll find it at Sun Chevy today. Sunshine and pleasant, a high of 81 tonight. Clear, a low of 59. Folsy, this has been enjoyable. You had a great get with the quarterback guru. Did you know that caterpillars turn to liquid before they become a butterfly?
No way.
Yes, they do.
In the cocoon?
Yes, they become like a little vial of liquid. The caterpillar becomes completely liquidates itself and then turns into a butterfly. Is there a more amazing thing in all of nature than that?
Well, I'm always amazed that humans can carry other humans inside their stomachs.
Yeah.
That's always amazing to me.
Yeah. That is.
But that one's pretty close.
That one's up there, I say. Thank you, Maddie.
Thank you, Joe.
Have a wonderful day. What do we have tomorrow?
We have Chelsea Messenger, I know.
General
and
Patton.
Yeah, General Patton.
But you haven't gone to work yet. Yesterday at this time, we had nothing either. And what'd you do? You doubled down, you went to work, and you got a quarterback guru who tells us that Kenny Pickett is the next Joe Burrow. And he's worked with both of them.
He has.
So don't sell yourself short, Maddie. By this time tomorrow, we're going to have God knows who on the air.
We'll have a
right?
boatload, yes. That's the hope.
All right, man. Have a good night.
You too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.